Let's take our Bibles once again. Now turn to Psalm 98. Psalm 98. I'd like to look at the first three verses. Psalm 98. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. For he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Man comes forth from the womb. And I'm going to show you what I'm talking about when I say this, talking about singing a song. It's the expression of a heart. But man comes forth from his mother's womb singing a song, or his heart expresses that he has a presumed relationship before God. It's a defective thought. It's a tainted thought, because man thinks that he's on a right standing before God. And man, as being born in Adam, is lost. Man is born lost. Now, this song, or the expression of a heart of every person now, it echoes of self-righteousness. Man just born like that. He's born thinking that he has a right. He's arrogant. He's proud. And he's filled with the thoughts that somehow he has the ability to do something to reconcile himself back to God. He sings from his carnal heart of self-worth. Now listen. Every person born into this world is a worthless maggot. You don't have any worth. I don't have any worth. Not being born in Adam. We don't have it. Now let me tell you where this song came from. Mark Psalm 98. And turn to Isaiah 14. Now we've read this before, but let me tell you where man comes up with this thought. He either has the mind of God or he has the mind of Satan. There's only two minds. Psalm 14. This is the song of a person born in Adam. Verse 13. It's what Satan said. This is what an unbeliever says. Because the Lord told those old Pharisees, he said, you are of your father, the devil. You're of your father, the devil. Now, I know this. I know this is to the carnal mind. I know this is not popular to hear. I know that. But I'm telling you, this is what God has to say. And His Word is final. This is the Word by which we're going to be judged. Thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now let me tell you what that heart comes from. It comes from those that the Lord, like those that the Lord was speaking to, who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Remember that? And there was a Pharisee and a publican, and the Lord gave that parable. They went up to pray. He was talking to people that thought that they were righteous in themselves. Now that is just, someone says, well, I just feel as though that you ought to just do what your heart thinks is right. Told you about a friend of mine used to have a gas station there in a little town in Louisiana where I graduated and had a sign. He was so proud of it. And here's what it says. Go this Sunday to the church of your choice. Well, what if I choose the wrong place? Just do what your heart, if it feels right. Do what you think's best. Let me tell you what that's going to get you. Proverbs 28:26. Proverbs 28:26. Trusting. But let me tell you something. Your heart's going to lie to you every time. Heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. You think, is there ever a chance that maybe the carnal heart might tell you the right thing? No. 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 How are you going to know the truth? Well, I'll tell you. Just a second. Proverbs 28:26. Now listen to this. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Well, I just feel as though that it's right to... Is that what God had to say? That's all I'm going to ask you. All I'm going to ask you is what you're telling me, is it consistent with these Scriptures? Because if it's not consistent with these Scriptures, let me tell you something, you're wrong. You're wrong. If what I'm preaching is not consistent with these Scriptures, I'm wrong and I'm lying. The Scripture says, back in Psalm 98, verse 1, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song." Now, the song that I came forth from my mother's womb singing was a song that gave me the honor, me the glory, me the praise. I will ascend, I will go, I'll sit, I will, I will, I will. Turn to Exodus 15. Exodus 15. Moses had led the children of Israel out of Egypt. They'd come to the Red Sea and they were backed up, had their backs against the wall. They were between a rock and a hard place, really. I mean, here's the Red Sea and here's the Egyptian army. And you know what happened? God delivered them. They walked across the Red Sea and they got on the other side. And this, the Scripture says, Exodus 15:1, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea." Look at verses 11 to 13. Here's the new song, a fresh song. This is the song of a new heart that was never sung before conversion. "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praising, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand. The earth swallowed them. Thou, in thy mercy, hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto the holy habitation. Now let me tell you the difference between those two songs. One of them that I sung when I was first born in Adam, and everybody else does, says, I will. I will. I will. And you know what that new song says? Lord, you have. You have. There was nothing in there, in that new song that Moses sang, that had any mention of me or my worth or my ability or my will. Lord, you have. Your mercy. Your mercy. This song that we sing, this new song, let me tell you what the song is. It's the gospel. This is the new song. This is the new song. It's the gospel of God's grace. And it's the same song that Moses sang in Exodus 15. And it's the same song that will be sung in the when the glorified saints are praising the Lamb. Listen to this. Revelation 5:9. Here's the new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Lord, you have. A believer loves that song. He loves the song of redemption, of sovereign grace. Every line of that new song, it sings of the praises of God Almighty. And it's been taught them by the Spirit of God in regenerating grace. It's the song of redemption. A believer, just the thought of that old song that gave man praise and honor and I will and I have and I did this, I did that. And he just, you know, think, oh, I hate those lyrics. I hate them. I hate those lyrics. This is the song. Let me show you something. Genesis 3:21. This is the song that was... Look at Genesis 3:21. The Lord sang this song to Adam and Eve. The Lord sang this song. Let me show you what... Look at the Scripture. And here's the song. Here's the song. Genesis 3:21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. You know what that's talking about. To make coats of skins, something had to die. That skin didn't come from any other place. There was an animal there. Something had to die. Something had to die that they might have a covering. Here's that song that the Lord sang. This song is a song of wonder, majesty. Back in Psalm 98, he says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things." This song speaks of accomplishment. It speaks of grace and mercy. He hath done marvelous things. Not me and we and us, but He. Before He called us out of darkness. You know that old song that I was talking about that we all like to sing, the praise of man and give man the glory. And we talked about our will and our choice and our work, and not only did we praise ourselves, let me tell you what else we did. We questioned God. We questioned God. Let me tell you where that started. In the garden. the devil said to Eve. Hath God said that you'll die? And she said, that's what he said. He said, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. Let me tell you what the old heart, the old song says. I'm not going to die. God's not going to deal with me like that. God, He wouldn't do that. He wouldn't do that to me. I can tell you that. He would. No, I tell you what I think. I think that God's going to look at all my bad points, all my good points, and if the good points outweigh the bad points. Let me tell you something. If there are any bad points to deal with, you're going to perish. Any man, any woman that stands before God and they stand not absolutely holy. How holy? As holy as God. How can that be? If I be not found in the Lord Jesus Christ, if He has not dealt with my guilt and put away my sin and robed me in His righteousness, and I stand complete in Him, I'm going to tell you right now, how can I know that I stand like that? Do I believe God? Do I believe this gospel? If you believe not this gospel, Paul said, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than that which we believe, let him be accursed. I'm telling you, is it important to believe the gospel of God's grace? Absolutely. If you believe not the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace, if you believe not, then there's no life there. I'm telling you, everybody's going to be taught of God this message right here. This is the gospel. What do you think Paul meant when he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ? It is the power of God unto salvation. This is it. Does it matter if I believe something else? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. That song that believer sings, it is that song that magnifies the marvelous things that God hath done. Let me tell you just a few things. I began to list a few things. I was going to list the marvelous things that the Lord had done. And I thought, boy, my list is way too short. So I'm just going to list a few things that came to my mind. These are marvelous things. This is a marvelous thing. Jeremiah 31:3. Listen to this. I've loved you with an everlasting love. You say, well, I don't see where that's so marvelous, because doesn't God love everybody? Well, according to the Lord's word, He doesn't. According to the Lord's word, He does not. Romans 9:9 says this, for this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. Now listen to this. Now this is a marvelous thing right here. For the children being not yet born, and neither having done any good or evil. Now you think, well now, if they've not been born, and they've not been born yet, and they've not done any good or evil. Why? Because they hadn't been born yet. But that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works. Not of works. They weren't even born yet. But of Him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Usually it's the younger that serves the elder. But the Lord said, this is the way it's going to be. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And the Spirit of God anticipating what the carnal mind says. They're going to say, wait a minute. Now wait, that is not fair, because these kids were not even born yet. The Spirit of God had the writer to Romans write this. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Now, listen, let me tell you something. Don't even think that you can figure out the mind of God. But I can tell you this. This is right. And I'm wrong if I disagree with Him. Now that's just the way it is. He saith to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. That's a marvelous thing. That is a marvelous thing. And it's the truth. You say, well, what if I don't believe that? Are you asking me, what if I don't believe God? Is that what you're asking me? Are you asking me whether or not I believe that what God is saying is true? The only thing I'm going to tell you is this. If I find it in my heart to not believe God, then I've got to admit here, I'm walking on some thin ice right here. Because I know this, He's the faithful and true witness. He has done marvelous things. He entered into an everlasting covenant with Himself. Father, Son, Spirit. Man wasn't there. Not in eternity. Man's representative was there. The representative of all that the Father had given the Son was there. Man was represented there. But man wasn't there. But God Almighty established in that everlasting covenant of grace, I'm going to save mankind. Not all of them. But I'm going to save some out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. That's a marvelous thing. But if the Lord had not left us a remnant, we would have all perished. People, when I think of people saying, election is not fair, we would have all perished. All of us would have been in hell. But because of His mercy and grace, He chose to show mercy to some. So the next thing you're going to think, I know what you're thinking. Why didn't He choose all of them then? Verse 19 of Romans 9 says, Thou wilt say then in thine heart, why does He yet find fault? For who hath resisted His will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Let me tell you something. The best thing in the world for a man or a woman to do when it comes to hearing the Word of God, be quiet. Just be quiet. Let God be true. He has done some marvelous things. He came into this world, and the Spirit of God imparted holy seed into the womb of a virgin. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. And He was born in a marvelous way. There was no man involved. And the Scripture says that He came forth born just like every other person's born. God, man. And He... Listen to this, Luke 2:51-52. I'll tell you what it says. He increased in wisdom and stature, or age. Before God and men, He marvelously walked as the representative of all that He came to save, to redeem. When Adam fell, they lost. Life, He died. What do they need? They need righteousness before God. What do you mean righteousness? Obedience. Obedience to the law. That the law would look at one and say, no guilt. Not one infraction. They need to be justified before God. To be holy and without blame before Him in love, you know what they have to be? Holy and without blame. That's what they need. How? They're born. Well, their guilt, Christ bore and paid for it. But I need righteousness as the representative. This is what He marvelously did. He earned, by His obedience, righteousness that God imputes to His people, to believers. That's a marvelous thing. And it's not just, as Brother Scott used to say, it's not just a pasted on righteousness. I'm going to treat you as if you are righteous. I know you're not, but oh yes you are. Yes you are. Yes you are. There is absolute righteousness. It's not pretend. God doesn't play like. Let's just play, you know, we'll play like. No, this is not play like. When He bore the guilt of His people, He was actually made sin. He wasn't made to be sort of like sin. I've heard people say, well, I know what happened. He wasn't actually made sin. He just bore the guilt of everybody. The Scripture said He hath made Him sin. That's a marvelous thing. He put away their guilt and He charges them, imputes to them righteousness. And in Christ, they're holy. They're holy. That which is born of God doesn't sin. There's a new man in the believer that does not sin. He died. The blood of God was shed, and the man, Christ Jesus, died and was buried. And 3 days later, let me tell you what else He hath done. The Scripture says He was raised by the Father. But the Scripture says that the Lord said, I have power to lay down my life and I have power to take it again. That's a marvelous thing. He can raise Himself. The Scripture declares, back in Psalm 98, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. He has done marvelous things. His right hand, His power, and His holy arm, His holiness, hath gotten Him the victory. And all other works are not even be talked about. Salvation is of the Lord. His right hand, His holy arm, hath gotten Him the victory. The Lord, verse 2, hath made known His salvation. That's a marvelous thing. My sheep hear my voice. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9. The Lord hath made known His salvation. And this is the only way that it's known. This is the way. Through the preaching of this gospel, this is how it's known. Ephesians 1:9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He had purposed in Himself. Scripture doesn't say He tried to make it known. He makes it known. They know it. It's not that He desired or wished that they'd make. The Lord hath made known. And the Lord Jesus Christ thanked the Father. In Matthew 11:25, He said, I thank Thee, O God. I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, or those that think themselves to be so, and hast revealed them unto babes. Father, I thank You that You hid these things from the wise and prudent. Well, His ways are not our ways, are they? He made known of the blessing of salvation. The Scripture says in Ephesians 1:4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, here's the blessing of salvation, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. What a blessing. You know, can you think about this? I know just enough about myself, and I see in me no good thing. That is in my flesh. That's what Paul said. I just don't see it. I don't pray as I wish I would. I don't talk to you like I wish I would. I don't have the right attitude like I wish I would. I don't see anything, to be honest with you, in me that is praiseworthy. I just don't see it. But the Scripture says, He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame, not before each other, but before God in love. And He made known the reason for saving His people. Here's the reason. Ephesians 1:5. Here's the reason that God saved them. Now this is a marvelous thing. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Here's the reason. According to the good pleasure of His will. Why would God show mercy to one and leave another to Himself? Why? Because it pleased Him to do so. Somebody said, "Well, I just don't know if I just don't know if I can go along with it." I pray God give you heart to. I pray God give you heart to. Thirdly, the Lord has made known the price of our salvation. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption, here it is, through His blood. It's not when I see your faith. It's not when I see your faithfulness. It's not when I see how often you come to church. It's not how much you read Scriptures. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And He's made known the means. This is what I quoted a while ago. Romans 1:16-17, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And not only has Jehovah made known His salvation, the Scripture declares His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen, Jews and Gentiles. Salvation is for God's people. The Lord said, I have other sheep. They're not of this fold. They're not Jews. Them I must bring. They're not going to be left in darkness and blindness. The Lord's going to cross paths with His people, every one of them, no matter where they are. He's going to cross their paths. And they're going to come to Him. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh, I will in no wise cast out. Why? I paid His debt. The Father gave Him to me. I've eternally stood for Him. I'm not going to cast Him out. One that comes to Christ. And in closing, here's the foundation of God's people's hope for eternal life in Christ. Verse 3. He hath remembered His mercy and His truth toward the house of Israel, a spiritual Israel. You know that. Not everybody that's a natural Jew is not a spiritual Jew. He's remembered His mercy and truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. The Lord said, I'm going to have mercy on whom I'm going to have mercy. And His mercy and compassion is according to His everlasting covenant of grace. And His remembrance to show mercy toward His people is that He sees the shed blood, as I said, of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the truth. Because it's from the mouth of the true and faithful witness. He remembers. I was thinking about that thief on the cross. And at the last moments of that thief's life, he was getting ready to die. And he says, Lord, When you come into your kingdom, would you remember me? Would you remember me in mercy? And the Lord, whoever remembers His mercy and His truth toward the house of Israel, looked at that spiritual son of Abraham. You say, well, that scripture said he was a thief. Yeah, he was a thief. Just like me and you. But he'd never done anything good. He'd been a rebel rouser all his life. Yeah, that's right. Just like me and you. Well, he was getting exactly what he deserved. Well, but for the grace of God, he would have eternally got what he deserved. But the Lord looked at that son of Abraham, spiritual son of Abraham. One that he had entered into an eternal covenant with the Father and the Spirit. And there he was, paying the debt of that thief right there. And he said, verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, a fresh song, fresh every day. It's a fresh song every day. It's new every day to God's people. To sing of His mercy, and sing of His grace, and sing of His praises. Lord, You're worthy, You're worthy, You're worthy. You say, well, didn't you sing that yesterday? I sure did. By the grace of God, I'll sing it again tomorrow. And it'll be just as fresh and just alive then by His grace as it is right now. Bless the Word, our hearts, for Christ's sake.